leave your Bible open there because we are going to be going through those verses. Today's message is entitled, Go Light Your World. You know, God has called each one of us to be soul winners for Him. We are to radiate His light to those around us. And the time that we're living right now is so very important because we truly are living in the last days. I believe that with all my heart. There's evidence all around that shows us that Jesus is coming very soon. And we as Adventists need to believe that and be able to express that with all of our being. Because if we don't act like Jesus is coming soon, how are we going to get anybody else to believe that? We must be the ones that proclaim the great message of salvation and that Jesus is coming soon. You know, when I was a little girl, the things that I see now were not happening. I mean, what's accepted now was not accepted when I was little. And it's very alarming. After having to raise children in a time like this, knowing that, you know, one of the gals that I'm studying with right now, she came to me one day and she said, Jeanne, I have a 12-year-old and I have a 5-year-old. And my 12-year-old just came and asked me, he said, Mommy, he goes, I thought that marriage was between a man and a woman. And he had seen on TV about men being with men and women being with women. And she says, what do I do? You know, I said, just affirm him that marriage is between a man and a woman. That is what God intended. But what a error to be living in right now. So many things are happening. If we look at the destruction that has been happening all around the world, we have famines, we have pestilences, we have the floods, we have tsunamis happening, we have hurricanes happening, we have tornadoes happening, and the destruction. And it's more and more and more. We see that. You can't even turn on the news without seeing something huge happening that just was completely like a city being destroyed or something happening like that. So we know that Jesus is coming very soon. 1 Peter 4:7 says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, we must be clear-minded and self-controlled so that we can pray. We need to be praying so much more now than ever before because God has called us as His remnant church, as His end-time people, to be able to stand. And to be able to stand without a mediator when the time comes that we will have to. Because when Jesus steps out of the most holy place, we are going to have to be able to stand. Whoever's just is going to be just. Whoever is unjust will be unjust. And at that point, there won't be any more mercy for us. The time is now to completely be surrendered to Jesus, to put on Christ and let His character become ours, for the day of atonement is very near. It's our job to give Jesus our sins, and it's His job to take them from us, and He will forgive them for us. The time is now to overcome all sin and to be a light in the darkness. And we can only do this by having Christ abiding in us and His word written upon our hearts and our minds. We must be about our Father's business, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and eternal life with the world. That's our mission. We must not get discouraged or distracted by the things of this world. Our mission as Seventh-day Adventists is to take this message to the world, to become like one with Jesus so that we can go out and share this message with the world so Jesus can come. You know, it's a privilege to be able to take this message to the world. It's a privilege to be able to be used by Jesus. So what is our role in this world? We are called in these last days to be like a modern-day John the Baptist, by preparing the way of the Lord's soon return, by representing God and his true character. We are called to let our light shine to tell people about Jesus and his great love. Do you know there's so many people out there, first of all, there's so many people that don't know who God is. They don't even know who Jesus is. And a lot of them that do, they don't even know his care. They think something different about God than who he really is. To think that God would burn people in hell forever and ever, who would want to serve a God like that? I wouldn't. And you shouldn't either, because God is not like that. But there are so many people that believe that. We must tell them that's not true. We must tell them that Jesus is loving, he's kind. Yes, he's a just God, and yes, he does judge, but there's a time for that. But God is merciful right now. He wants all to come to repentance. He wants everyone to be saved. Now, we know that that's not going to happen, but that's what God's in his heart. That's what he wants to happen. He doesn't want to lose one person because he created each and every one of us. We are called to share the best news in the universe that this universe has ever have. And that is exciting. We need to be excited about that. It is a privilege. It is a blessing. It is an honor to be a co-laborer with the Lord. The question is, are we answering our call and our role in this world? Are we being a light unto this world? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as I deliver this message today, Lord, I just ask for your Holy Spirit to fall. I need you. I need you to touch my tongue with your words and your thoughts. And Lord, I pray that you just draw your people's hearts and minds to you. And Lord, that we will leave from this place different than as we walked in, that we'll be closer to you, that we will be empowered with your spirit to go out and change this community, Lord, for you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16 tells us that we are the light of the world. Actually, that's in Matthew 5:14. So God, Jesus is speaking in here, and he says that we are the light of the world. That is pretty significant. That is a call upon our life. So we must be the light of the world. As God's chosen people, we are to be the light bearers on the way to heaven. We are to reflect to the world the true light shining upon us from Jesus. Beloved, are we living up to what God has called us to be? Every day we need to ask the question. Do you know, I'm so thankful today. If you would have told me 11 years ago that I would be standing before you today speaking for my Lord and Savior, I would have laughed and I would have said that there's no chance. There's no way. Because you see, God did something amazing in my life. For many years, well, I will share my story a little bit later. But just let me tell you that for the last 10 years that I've been walking with the Lord, he spoke to me one day when I wasn't walking with him, and he told me, Jeanne, if I came today, you would be lost forever. And it was like a dagger in my heart because I knew that it was true. And he said, it's time for you to come home. And I knew what that meant. He said, you have been running around in the world being a friend of the devil when you are my child. It's time for you to come home. And you know what? Through many miracles, he rescued me and he brought me back to him. And I'm so thankful that I've had 10 years of being able to serve the Lord in ministry. I'm thankful that he didn't come right when he said he was, because I didn't want to be one of those people right at the last moment. You know, by the grace of God, you get in, okay? I didn't want to be one of those people. I want to be those ones that that makes a difference in this world for Christ. We all need that. We all need to make a difference for Christ, each one of us. He wants to do something great with your life. He has a purpose and a plan for each one of you to actively to go out and to share his love with them. Am I doing that? Oh, that was something else. Okay. Desire of Ages, page 307 says, true character is not shaped from without and put on. It radiates from within. If we wish to direct others in the path of righteousness, the principles of righteousness must be enshrined in our own hearts. Our profession of faith may proclaim the theory of religion, but it is our practice of our faith that holds forth the Word of God. The consistent life, the holy conversation, the unswerving integrity, the active benevolent spirit, the godly example, these are the mediums through which light is shown to the world. So how do we get this light? We can look at the example of Moses when he went up on the mount and spent time alone with God. So what do we need to do now? We need to make sure we're spending time alone with God. Do you know that right now is our training period? It's our time that God wants to work with us to sanctify us, to prepare us for what's about to come on this world. Because it's not going to be easy, my friends. It's not. We are going to have to go through some serious, serious stuff. We are going to not be able to buy or sell, you know, and we have to be prepared for that. We have to learn to live with less, because if we can't do without a lot of things, we're going to be in some serious, serious trouble. And I know each one of you sitting here coming to church on the Sabbath, I know not one of you in your hearts wants to fall to the beast and worship the beast. So we need to prepare for that time now. As Moses spent time alone with God, he came back down from the mountain. His face was lit up with the light of God. And as we spend time alone with God in prayer and in contemplating the deep love of God and praising him for the Almighty Father and the glorious God of creation that he is, the lover, redeemer, and sanctifier of our souls, and talk with him as our very best friend, then his amazing love and light will radiate upon us and light us up with his glory. The greatest privilege that we have is talking and walking with the Trinity. We need to spend that special time alone with God daily for us to hear him speak to us. And we need to daily listen for him. Our prayer time doesn't need to be always about us talking. We need to spend time just listening in silence for him to speak to us. Matthew 5:13 says that we are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? And Jesus is telling us this, that we are also the salt of the earth. So what does it mean to be the salt of the earth? It means that we are to season or flavor the earth with God's love and his light. As his believers, we are the proof that God is love, that knowing Jesus has life-transforming power to change our life. And you know that, I know that there have some that have been coming to church, and maybe your experience isn't as fresh or as on fire as, you know, somebody that's just coming into the church. And I've had people come in to the church, and they were like so on fire when they heard the message, and they're like, why isn't everybody fired up in here? Like, you guys have the truth, and like, isn't this exciting? And we need to be excited about it. No matter how many years we've been Adventists, we need to be excited about it because this is truth and God has revealed it to us. So let's get excited. Do you know that when we share the gospel with one person, God will put a fire in your heart to share it with another? Do you know that when I got my first baptism, I was so elated. It was like one of the highlights of my entire life. And by the grace of God, 30 baptisms later, I've had 31 baptisms in less than 2 years. And I have 6 more people preparing for baptism right now. It is so incredible, and it truly, that is what sets my soul on fire. Knowing that God is doing a great work, and he's pouring out his spirit. And you know what? If I wasn't doing Bible work, it changes you. It changes me. I'm not the same person that I was 2 years ago, let alone 10 years ago. But when I started Bible work, I'm not the same person that I was. I see that God is refining my character. Yes, there's still more to go. But when I look back, I've come a long ways. And so each one of us, we need to be making sure that we have our hand in Jesus and that we are going forward to that light because he is coming. We have the hope of having eternal life, and his reward is with him when he comes. Don't miss out on your reward or your inheritance because we become complacent or we become sleepy. It's not a time for us to fall asleep, my friends. It's a time for us to gear up, unite together in Christ, and as your church here in Healdsburg, come together. You are family in Jesus and say, what can I do to make a difference in this community? Have a prayer time that you guys can all get together. Pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon you, that God will do something in this congregation to stir all of you up so that you can make a difference in this community. Because you see, God is doing this all around the world. We don't want to get behind. We don't want to be left behind, okay? We want to. I know you guys have heard of the blueprint with Ivor Myers. I hope all of you have. But he's actually doing something absolutely amazing. He is having churches all over the place. You share the blueprint message, which is the message of the sanctuary message. And literally, if we could all just share the sanctuary message with someone that wasn't an Adventist, it would change their life. If you haven't watched the blueprint, please go on YouTube and watch the blueprint. And he's got several of them, but the best one, the latest one, his hands are up. And you guys got to watch it because it explains the sanctuary message so beautifully and so simply. And when I heard the sanctuary message like that, I fell in love with Jesus even more. I mean, I was just like, wow, how can anybody, if we truly understood it like this, it would be so easy to take it and share it with other congregations. And do you know, and other denominations, I should say. And do you know that other Sunday-keeping churches, if they would just hear this message, there's no way that they could deny that they're not in the right church, okay? That they haven't completely stepped forward with Jesus. Because you see, that's how God started this church. He rose up all the reformers. He gave them all the light to restore certain articles in the sanctuary, you know, whether it was the altar sacrifice. Everything has a meaning, and it's so deep and so incredible about our salvation. But God rose up the Seventh-day Adventist church because he wanted to restore the Sabbath, and the other churches did not go along with it. They stopped with the light that God had given them. So we have the full message, and we must take it to these other people. They need to know. They need to know. So what does it mean to season? Or flavor the earth with God's love and his light. As believers, we are proof that God is love, and that knowing Jesus has life-transforming power, and living for Christ is a beautiful, meaningful, satisfied life, a life with purpose and with meaning. We are to bring out God's flavors and colors of his great love to the world. We can only do this by being one with Jesus, so we can go be one with the world. 3 + 1 = 1 to the world. That's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you equals one to the world. We are to reflect the character of God so that the whole world will look at us and wonder in awe of our incredible, miraculous, marvelous, awesome, mighty, amazing God and how he lives in his people. I have to share, you know, that we are his representatives. and his ambassadors. And as his ambassadors, we must share his character in this world. Then they will know that we are true followers of the living God by our actions, our words, by the way we live our day-to-day lives and how we treat them and how we treat each other. We as God's remnant church must be united in Christ and labor together for the souls of man, just as Christ labored for you and for me. We have a mission, we have a message, we have a purpose and a passion. We must love Christ enough to seek and save the lost and lead them to the cross. We must encourage each other daily to keep our eyes upon the prize, to keep our eyes upon Jesus. We are on one team, and that team is Team Jesus, and we must labor together for the kingdom of God. What does it mean if the salt loses its flavor? If we are being Christians just in name only, then we have no influence for good in the world. If we are taking the name Christian and misrepresenting God, then we are worse than the unbelievers. Because if an unbeliever knows that you're a Christian and you are acting just like them, why would they want to be a Christian? Why would they need to be? They wouldn't see the need. Jesus says if we as his believers are not sharing the good news of his love and his light, then we are not being the salt of the earth, and we have lost our sweet flavor. We lose our power as followers if we are not going out to make other followers. Every one of us is called to be a fisher of men. We are to be the salt of the earth. What are people saying and seeing in you? I just want to tell you a really quick story. I don't know if you are familiar with the glow tracks, but the glow tracks are very powerful. I don't have one with me right now. I will have them later this afternoon that I will pass them out to you. But the glow tracks are very easy. They're a short read. They're very powerful, and they're easy to hand out. And one of my friends, a couple years ago, he decided on Halloween. Sure. These are the signs of the times, but there's little, oh, it is glow. It isn't sign, but there's signs like this too. But see these little glow tracks? They have all different topics. You can get a pack of 100 for $5. I mean, so it's really affordable, and they have all different topics that you can pass out. And so a couple years ago, one of my friends, he decided for Halloween he was going to pass trick or truth. And you know, they had the ones that says trick or truth. So he passed this out instead of candy. So all these people were coming to his door, and he was passing it out, and he said, you know what? I actually want to get out in the middle of the people. I want to really get out. And so he was out in the neighborhood just passing out these glow tracks to everybody. And he says, lo and behold, I couldn't believe what I saw coming walking down the street. There was a full-grown size banana. It was an adult in a banana suit running around. And so the banana comes up to him, and he gives him a glow track. And just a few minutes later, here comes the banana. He comes back. He goes, do you think I could have a couple more of those? And he says, yeah, sure. So he gave him a couple more. And a few minutes later, he comes back, and he says, do you think I could have a couple more of those? And he goes, yeah, sure. So he gives him a couple more. And a few minutes later, he comes back, and he's, can I have a few more? He goes, what on earth are you doing with these things? He goes, well, I'm passing them out. Isn't that what I'm supposed to do? So if God can use a banana who wasn't even supposed to be passing glow tracks out, God can use you. Do you glow for Jesus? Do you have the character of God? Do you tell people about the truth of God's character? Since God's character has been trampled upon from the beginning of sin, we need to show God's true character. We are to live a life that radiates his message. Taste and see that the Lord is good, full of love and mercy and truth. Look what he has done for me. Share our testimony. Every one of you has a testimony. It doesn't have to be the same. Oh, some people say, oh, mine's not like yours, or mine's not as good. You know, I've been in the church all my life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that you've been in the church all the life. You should be excited. You never had to go out there in the devil's playground and then come back. Or, you know, never knew about the Lord and then come to the Lord. You were with the Lord all of your life. Amen. If every one of us shared what God had done in our lives with others and shared all the miracles, I truly believe that it would be very hard for there to be any atheists in this world. If we are living up to what God has called us to be as his believers, and we are united taking his love and his light and his truth to this world, we would truly shine for Jesus. Just think of how many more souls would fall in love with Jesus. Many. When we take the name of Christ, we are to represent him by his behavior. We must reflect the character of Christ. We must share the truth, we must share the light, and light up all of those around us, because Jesus has set us apart. He calls us a city that is set on a hill. When we shine with God's character before men and lift him up, they will glorify our Father in heaven. I am just so thankful for God has led in my life. You see, when I was 11 years old, I went through a series of meetings, and I fell in love with Jesus even more. My parents used to take me to Sabbath school. My mom used to have worship with us, you know, a lot. But when I went through these meetings when I was 11 years old, right then and there, I knew I wanted to be an evangelist for the Lord. I had given my life to the Lord, and I wanted to go out and give Bible studies at 11, and I wanted to be in ministry. And my mom, I'm like, Mom, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? She didn't know what to do. She went to a few of the ladies in the church that were actually doing some ministry. They were giving Bible studies. And you know what they told her? Bring her back in a few years. She's too young. So at that point, I experienced a rejection, you know, and I harbored that hurt. And I didn't even know. I still wanted to do everything. And I was just like, I got to wait a few years. If you have a child that loves the Lord and wants to do ministry, please, church, support that kid. That raise him up or her up. Lift him up. Whatever they want to do for the Lord, encourage them to do. Because you know what? Once they have made that decision and once they want to do something for Jesus, guess what the devil does? He wants to destroy them, and he wants to take them out, and that's exactly what he did to me. I had no idea that, you know, what was going to happen to me in the next couple years, but I would have never guessed what would have happened. My grandfather, my dad's father, who was not raised a Christian at all, he ended up giving me a little radio, and I had never listened to secular music, okay? And I had no idea that the secular music, what it was going to do to me. But I started listening to rock music, and it turned me into this rebellious little demon, okay? I didn't want to listen to within a couple years, I didn't want to listen to my parents anymore. I didn't want to listen to my teachers. I didn't even know that it was a music. And you know what? My parents didn't either. They had no idea. They said, what happened to our little girl who never needed any spankings, who was always obedient? You know, I turned into some rebel. And then I listened to dance music, so then it made me want to go party. So they had this wonderful little girl who just did a complete flip-flop on them when I was like 13. And they just thought it was because I went into my teenage years, and it wasn't that at all. God revealed to me when I was at AFCO a few years ago, which is Amazing Facts College of Evangelism, because I was pleading to the Lord, Lord, show me, give me that last piece of the puzzle. I need to know what it was that turned me from loving you so much and wanting to be an evangelist when I was 11 years old to completely not even caring about, you know, godly things at all and wanting to go round and round in the world. And that's what he gave me. Yeah, we had a week-long music seminar, and he spoke to me and he told me, this is what happened to you. And I just wept because I knew it was the truth. And he started to show me through my life different ways and different songs that came into my life at different periods. I remember one time I was walking in the streets of San Francisco at 2 o'clock in the morning partying. And all of a sudden we were walking by this warehouse, and it was a rave. And this music, literally, I'm not kidding you, when I almost felt arms pull out like this and pull me right in. And I said, oh, the music just pulled me in. And I didn't realize what I was even saying. But the music pulled me in. And as I learned through the seminar, the beats of music and the drums and all this stuff, they affect your mind. And the devil is very clever with music. So kids, I just want to appeal to you. Be very careful what you listen to. Parents, be very careful what you listen to. Because, you know, my mom didn't know, and she thought she liked the music I was listening to, too. So she and I used to beep bop around in the car and thought that it was all fun, you know, and it wasn't. I just remember so much destruction. I almost caused my parents' divorce. Praise God, they're still married, you know, and they're still in the church. But I took them through so much. And from the music, I got into all kinds of things. Music was the gateway to alcohol and to all kinds of other things that I don't even want to get into. And God literally had to come rescue me. And it took years. It took years. And the things that I got into, I shouldn't even have came back from. But God, in his infinite mercy, said, no, you are my child, and I have called you for a purpose to come and share my word with my people, that they may know that there is a God, a true God, a living God, that still lights this world up with his fire. And I just want you to know that Jesus is coming very soon, and we must be ready. And that is why he rescued me when he did. And I am so thankful for that. I have a passion of reviving and empowering God's people and inspiring them to lift up the trumpet and now let it ring, because Jesus is coming again. We must wake up, church. We must not be lukewarm. The time is now to sound our trumpets. The time is now for the Holy Spirit to be poured out on us. Don't let your light go out. Don't let your trumpet be still. Don't let your oil run dry. Remember, the priest in the temple had to always keep the oil fill in the lamps. They always had to be burning. So let us not let our oil run out. We must go and tell everyone that we know that the Creator and the Savior of the world is coming. Today is the day to tell. Today is the day to be ready. Don't wait till tomorrow, because guess what? We're not promised tomorrow. We could walk out of this place, have a heart attack. We could get hit by a car. And however we're living today is going to be the last day of our life. And that's the day that we will be judged on. Are we living for Jesus, or did we just say, you know what? Today I'm going to go and do my own thing. Today, you know what? God will understand. I'll just ask for forgiveness, and he'll understand. But you know what? We're not promised tomorrow. So we have to live today like it's our last, because we don't know when we're going to take our last breath. How do we get this passion? How do we get fired up? I mentioned before, have a Bible study with someone. It will change your life. It will increase your faith and your love for Christ as you watch lives being transformed right in front of your very eyes. I just am so thrilled to see all of the people giving their lives to Jesus. When I used to think of when I was in the world and how many people that I led the wrong way, I said, Lord, for as many people as I led the wrong way, please, Lord, just bless me with leading many people, many, many, many more people to you and into your kingdom. We need to have a passion to go and light up the world for the glory of the highest and to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord above all lords and King above all kings. Jesus has called all of us to be disciples. So how do we get this fire that burns within our hearts for the salvation of souls? Matthew 7:7 through 11 says, ask and it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door will be open. When we thirst for Jesus with all of our hearts, when we search the scriptures daily and eat of the heavenly manna, when we fall at the throne of grace, at the feet of Jesus, and plead for his tender mercies, when we seek him and spend quality time with him daily, we will fall in love with him all over again, and he will put a fire in on our hearts that will burn for him to share the everlasting gospel with our friends, our family, and all those that Jesus leads us to. We will want to rescue those lost souls with the love of Christ and the truth of God's word, and the fire will burn in our hearts to meet him face to face and to see him in all of his glory. And we will want others to experience this glory as well and to be able to see him face to face. Just imagine, I just want you to think for a moment, what heaven's going to be like. I can picture this beautiful, beautiful, brilliant green meadow. And I'm running hand in hand like a little girl with my Jesus. And I'm skipping through this meadow with him. And he's telling me, wasn't it worth it? Isn't this place beautiful? I love you, Gian. I want to show you the river of life that you can go swim in and drink from. And he goes and shows me the river of life that flows from the throne of God. And then he takes me to the tree of life and he says, reach out your hand and you can pick and you can eat. And the taste is so incredible. Something like I've never tasted before. And then he says, I want to take you to different planets. We're going to go fly. And I don't know about you, but I want to fly. I can't wait to soar. I used to have dreams about flying, and Jesus was teaching me how to fly. And then I had the last dream about flying was 2 days before I started Bible work. And I was teaching other people how to fly. So that was pretty awesome to have those dreams, and I want to fly. And Jesus is taking me through all of the galaxy. That's what you got to do. You got to picture yourself. Heaven is real. Just because he's tarried doesn't mean he's not coming. It's real. We need to make him real in our lives so we can make it real to other people. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, it's a privilege to be a light. It is an honor to be chosen by God as a special end-time remnant church to take this message to the world. Just as the children of Israel were chosen and had a special calling and responsibility on their lives, so do we. We are called to represent the character of God here on earth, and we need to take the truth that he has given us and share it with them. We need to encourage each other. Excuse me. That's not where I'm supposed to go. Got lost here. There we go. We need to encourage each other daily. Man of Blessings says on page 39, humanity has in itself no light. Apart from Christ, we have not a single ray of brightness to shed into the darkness of the world. But when we turn toward the Son of Righteousness, when we come in touch with Christ, the whole soul is aglow with the brightness of the divine presence. Christ's followers are to be more than a light in the midst of men. We are the light of the world. Jesus says to all who have named his name, you have given yourselves to me, and I have given you to the world as my representatives. There are people out there who need the light, who want the light, who long for the light, but don't know how to find it. It is our job to help them find it. Jesus wants to keep your light burning to show you and others the way to him. I just want to tell you one really quick story, last really quick story. I have a friend, John, and he and his wife love to go rock climbing. And so they went backpacking and planned to stay overnight. And they like to scale up these, you know, El Capitan and things like that. I'm not into that. It's a little bit too scary for me. I like to snowboard and things like that. But rock climbing, that's kind of scary. But he and his wife, they went backpacking way in the back, and they got into where they were going to camp overnight, and they decided to wait till the morning to get, you know, to start early in the morning. But there were these other backpackers there and rock climbers there, and they were in the same area, and they decided to go out. And so, you know, there was still quite a bit of light left. So they went out, and it was quite a ways from where they were camped to where the rock was that they were scaling up the side of the mountain. And as John and his wife were there, and they got their binoculars out, and they looked, you know, at a certain time that they thought they would get to the rock, and sure enough, they saw this group that they were scaling up the mountain, and they were going up the face of this mountain. And, you know, I guess that they forgot to take some flashlights with them, you know. And it gets pretty dark out there because there's no street lights in the forest. And they were almost to the top. And it seemed like, John said, it seemed like they said, you know what, we don't have time to make it to the top and to get back down and to get back to camp because it's getting dark. So they started to, you know, come back down the mountain, and it kept getting more dark and more dark, and pretty soon it was just dark. And he could tell they were still, he could see. But so what he started doing is he started flashing his little light that he had toward him, like a signal, and he started flashing and he was flashing and flashing and flashing, right? And the next morning, the group said, you know, it got so dark out there, but we saw this one little light that was flashing in the darkness, this one little light, and it was just flashing and flashing, and that's how they found their way back to camp. So you see what one little light can do. It can light up the darkness. So don't think that your one little light can't do anything in this world. It can. You know, Christ has called us to the divine commission. And if you turn with me to Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And we're going to read that together. Because these are Christ's last words before he ascended. And this is what he's called each and every one of us to do. So let us please read that together. That's Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You know, when God comes and lights one candle,
there is a candle.
And he speaks to your heart. And he makes you realize that the time is short. And he makes you see that where once I was lost, but by his love, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, he says, "Jean, come home. I have work for you to do. There's others out there that need my light. And as I have lit up your light, I want you to shine for me. I want you to take my light, and I want you to go out, and I want you to light another's light so that they can go out and share, and they can light another's light. And another, and another, and another." I would have brought in all the candles, but I didn't know if your pastor would have, if it would have been against the fire code. Some churches it's yes, and some churches it's no. But just imagine, the lights were down, and we were all lighting each other's candle. This is what Christ has called us to do. This whole church would be lit up with his light. There wouldn't be any darkness. And then we would go and take all that light out into this world and make a difference for Jesus Christ. "Therefore, beloved, as the chosen, the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, and love. And go and light your candle. Go light your world. We are meant to be followers of Christ on the go." You know, all through the Bible, Abraham was on the go. He didn't even have a place of his own. God says, he picked him up and he says, oh, nope, you're going to move. You're going to move. You're going to move. Look at Moses. God's people have always been on the move. He says for us to go, to make disciples, to be on the move for Jesus. We are each called to be missionaries, constantly in motion. Does God have that pull on your life? Or do you feel him pulling you right now? Or do you feel like setting down roots? We must not set down roots because this is not our home. Our home is in heaven. Our home is with the Lord. When we go all the way with God, that God wants us to go, he will bless us. And we will be a channel of blessing to others. There are many souls to be saved. So my question is, have you went all the way with God? Do you want to be that channel of blessing? Do you want to be a light that shines for him? Beloved, today I'm pleading with you to give Jesus your all, that you may be that light that he has called you to be, that you may lead others to the cross and show them Jesus Christ, that he is the way, the truth, the life, that he is everything, that he is coming back very soon. And they must be prepared. You know, sanctification is a process. We don't just get sanctified in one day. They need time. Just like we've had time. God needs to work on each one of our hearts and their hearts. So we must get busy, my friends. Let's go light the world. For those of you who would like to be a light, please stand with me today as we pray. And then we will have our closing song. Almighty Father, our God, our friend, our beloved Redeemer and Savior, Lord, we humbly come before you. And we recognize that we need you desperately. We need you to change our hearts and our minds so they may be like Jesus. That we may have his character, Lord. Please do whatever you have to do in each one of us to make that happen. It may be difficult. It may be hard because purifying is not easy. But Lord, we know that you have promised us that he who hath begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we know that we must keep our hand in yours. And you will purify us, and you will make us holy, and you will make us fit for translation, that we will be saved to save, Lord. But we know that you have commissioned us to go, to light your world, to bring other people into your kingdom, other sons and daughters, Lord. Give us the courage and the power to stand and the courage to go out and minister in this community, that many more people in this community will know you and be ready for your soon coming, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn with me to hymn 532. Hymn 532. Can you grab a hymnal?
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to me my sorrows there. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He who's heart is kind beyond the measure.
reach the promised land. May you be blessed today. Happy Sabbath. You're welcome.